WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Joey Chestnut, all-time athlete.
Oh, here we go.
Was perspiring like a madman.
I was like,
took down 70 and a half glizzies at Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Hang on. And a half? They count that?
Yeah, they do.
Sports Talk Saturday.
When he's not dunking them in water and shoving them down, like, yeah, it's much, it's probably much easier to enjoy. Like, imagine, you got a cup full of water, you just shove your hand into it with a hot dog in it, and then you just ingest it all at once.
I think we've lost Derek for the show.
Throw up. 11:07
into the show, and we've lost Derek.
It's unbelievable to think about.
This is why I don't talk about
it. On WGR.
Because imagine if the bun's stale.
Oh, stop.
Then you have to dunk a stale bun. It's like embracing the crunch of the stale donut, but it's a stale hot dog bun.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome in. Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, hanging around with you. And none of that this week.
None of that this week. Thank goodness.
There was no contest.
But I figured out at some point, yesterday was the day on the Extra Point Show that I kind of figured it out. There's always something that you're going to do that's going to, like, you're going to find a way to just poke me with a needle. And it's going to, like, set me in a wrong direction. You do it and...
I'm an agent of chaos.
Yes. And I don't know what it is about me with most of my friends that it is anytime that they sit in the chair with me here, they become the provocateur for me because they know Mount Derek is a volcano ready to erupt at any time. Hey, let's find a way to set this thing off. So I don't know if it's you guys at this point. No, it's me. It's me problem. I'm the problem here. I'm the consistent factor because when I first took the seat from Nate, it was Kyle Powell or Frank Arcuri, or like there was a rotation going on and then we got to you. All of you did the same thing, which means it's not your fault.
No.
It's mine.
I'm a provocateur by nature though. Like even for the audience, like I like to throw a little stinger in sometimes to get some reaction.
And so is Frank. Kyle is the one that would do it very much on purpose. And Kyle still does contribute to the station. He's oftentimes he'll work on Sabres games. That poor man.
Yeah, he's a member of the Sabres Radio Network.
So
I've seen him a few times writing the article, the game story, when I've been here during a Sabres game. It doesn't match up with my schedule a lot the way I'm here, but
yes, you all do the same thing to me. Like, thank goodness Zach doesn't. As the person that hosts with me the most, I don't know what I would do. But it is my fault. I'm the problem. I know I'm the problem here. I'm a goofy knucklehead that somehow got permission to use a microphone and get paid to do it and have fun along the way. Sometimes it's fun to have somebody blow up and go on rants or...
Especially on, you know, these dog days of summer days when, you know, the topic of conversation is... sports movies and what constitutes a sports movie, like yesterday. Like that felt like the right time to really set off the volcano.
But talking about sports also does have inherently an emotional nature to it.
Oh, absolutely.
And if I don't display it, then I'm not being myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's supposed to be fun and chaotic and loud sometimes and emotional. It's supposed to be. That's why we watch these things. It's not to be bored.
No. And in Buffalo specifically, emotions, I mean, sometimes they're at an all-time low, depending on the team you're watching. But, I mean, there's a history of losing within the city, right?
Well,
I mean, this is kind of how it is.
I know the team you're hinting at.
But even the Bills were that. And now I just really exposed what team I was hinting at. But, yeah, there's even in those times, it's all emotion. You see it. It comes out.
Even when the teams are bad, the emotions are going to be there.
Yes.
So
frustration.
Frustration, anger, sadness.
Despair.
Confusion.
I'm
confused as to how they can't get in on accident anymore.
Right. Like because, every other team in the NHL?
Because earlier this week, Zach Jones and I on the Extra Point Show talked about your favorite Bills season.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I brought up the 2017 drought breaker.
That's a good one.
Not just because it's a drought breaker. That team was a minus 57 point differential. They had no business making it.
Nope.
And yet.
Andy Dalton did it for him, man.
And the most important game that was played was one that did not directly involve the Buffalo Bills.
No, because they stomped Miami, if I'm not mistaken.
They stomped Miami, and the last touchdown of that season is Kyle Williams, right?
Which I love, yeah.
But could you imagine, though, if like Miami didn't score to make it a closer game on the scoreboard? That was the touchdown because like your season's on the line, your playoff hopes, whatever's left of them, are on the line, and you hand it to a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. The stones that would take to do that. But
that video of them in the locker room after that Bengals victory is unbelievable. Like, it still gives chills down the spine.
Everything about that season is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But it also tells me there's a team that made it that had no business making it.
Right.
That's all I'm asking for the Sabres right now is
just
I don't
make it.
Like, and maybe this is the team where we're all like, oh, they're not a good roster.
Could be. They needed to do more with the roster, you could say, when it comes time to
it. But that's the joke in all of it. This the sick, cruel joke of the National Hockey League now with how the playoff format is.
They'll stumble their way in.
Is that this would be the year where everyone has got the expectations at an all-time low to do it, and that's the only logic I've got at this point. Because if I try to think about how logically the Sabres will make the playoffs this year, I'm not going to have anything other than Montreal had no business making it last year.
Right. I mean, Toronto flirts with having no business every few years, you know?
No, they have no business winning a first round, apparently.
Right. That's more appropriate.
And that's a bigger shame because they are so talented. But
well, they lost some of that.
But yeah, they lost a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, mix doesn't work. You need to do something different at this point. So honestly, it was the right thing for them to do.
Yeah.
Was ride into the season with him, try to offer up a trade, but he didn't waive it, so he made his decision already in Marner, and then eventually gets dealt.
Little sign and trade.
But, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, I just need accidentally.
That would be ideal. Especially, you know, 14 years, it's dog years for the NHL, how people can just stumble, teams can just stumble into the playoffs, right? It's like dog years for the Bills, 18 years.
But now the beautiful thing is this. Joe, we are once again able to say the statement, and it gets said over and over throughout this course between now and the first game of the National Football League season, or even the first Bills game of the season.
Oh.
Football's back.
It's back. We're so back.
We're so back. We're so back, and we're going to have to say it several times. When Chargers rookie is the first team to report to camp.
Mm-hmm. Than when the Bills do.
The Hall of Fame game, which is the first football game that will be played.
That's right. Is that televised?
Yes.
Oh, might have to watch. I don't think I've ever
watched
it. It's
always on NBC.
It's always on NBC.
Okay, cool.
The Bills report, well, hang on. I got it out of order. First team reporting to training camp. Mm-hmm. Bills reporting to training camp. First football game, the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
First preseason game. First Bills preseason game. First regular season game, Eagles-Cowboys, and then first Bills regular season
home
game.
Home opener, primetime, Sunday night football.
Those are the six stages of football is back between now and the Bills-Ravens on Sunday night.
I'm just excited to open up Sunday night. That's when it'll start for me. I know we're going to say it eight times.
But that's the thing. I've officially got six on the docket here. We got to say the first one today. Football is back because a team reported to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk a lot about that throughout the course of the day. But first, we've got ourselves a break to get to. Why? Because we want to talk to Brian Koziel and bring him in a couple minutes here on the other side of this break to talk about something that goes on in Western New York every year, known as the Dusters Challenge. And catch up with Brian about things that have happened also through the Sabres offseason. And
golf.
Plenty more on the other side. Brian Koziel coming up next. This is Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. We threw the clock into a little bit of disarray. Why? Because I like to make time to move around for my guests. That's what we do here. On a Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Cavley now joined on the West Hur Hotline by one Brian Koziel. If you heard him earlier this morning on Tee to Green, then you get to hear more of them now. If you didn't hear them on Tee to Green, what's wrong with you? Do that. Yeah, I know it's early, but you should do it anyway. Am I right, Brian?
That's right.
You can go back and listen any time of the day.
In. That's right. We just tweeted out the link of the show. You can always check it out on demand, but on our social media account at T2G Buffalo, we were at the site of where the Porter Cup's going to be this week, the annual great amateur tournament at Niagara Falls Country Club, previewing it. So, yeah, hope everybody can if you didn't tune in this morning, to go down and go download it and listen to it.
And you also get some of the best golf talk that you're going to get, especially around here between you and Jeff and Kevin and any of the guests that you guys always bring in. But, Brian, it's, you know, we've got the Open coming up, the Open Championship coming up soon. But also a neat little event around here, because you mentioned the Porter Cup, but now there's also another one that's coming around the corner here with the Dusters Challenge. And I wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about that, get a little plug for the Duster Challenge. What's it about in case people are interested in this sort of thing? Joe's curious about it because he's never heard of it relatively. And
I've heard of it in passing.
You've heard of it, yeah. But like,
I don't know what it is.
When it comes to our actual golfing, you do it a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what this is all about.
Yeah, so we're on the ninth edition of our Duster Putting Challenge. But about 10 years ago, Jeff and Kevin and I were like, hey, we want to do something to raise money for a charity that's tied to golf and, you know, use our show as kind of the platform for it. And we were like, well, what can we do? Like, well, you know, there's so many tournaments out there and a lot of people run tournaments. We're like, well, you know, let's maybe we can do something different. And we thought about like maybe like a long drive contest, but you know, there's only certain people that maybe would do that. Like if you can't hit the ball a long ways, like, you know, you're not, we're like, all right, what can we do that we can really like get everybody possibly interested in doing this? And not even necessarily like hardcore golfers, like just anybody. And we came up with this idea of having a putting contest because we're like, well, you know what? Everybody at some point in their life does putt-putt or mini golf. So like you don't have to be a golfer per se to do this. So we came up with this idea and I'll give Kevin Sylvester credit. He came up with this fictional character called the Duster because he comes through and dusts everybody away because he's the best putter in the world. So we have this little, you know, fictional character that's he's the Duster because he's the best putter in the world. So our job is to crown the best putter in Western New York. And we started it 9 years ago back at Fox Valley, and a gentleman by the name of Scott Howard, who's the superintendent at the time, he's now the owner and runs Attica Country Club, the 10th hole at Attica and that golf course out there. He helped us design the course, and it's since then moved to Glen Oak. We needed a bigger facility to accommodate more people and a bigger putting green and a bigger surface. And the Western New York PGA has also come on board with us to help run the event to make it a little bit more special with their digital scoring and all the great stuff that come with it. So basically how we do it is we have the last 2 years had over 100 golfers, and we anticipate over 100 again. We can take 108. That's the max that we can fit in our event. But we send out a wave of putters at 6 o'clock, a wave of putters at 7 o'clock. And we take the top 16 scores from the 100 and so that go out and putt. And from there, we turn it into kind of like a NCAA bracket. And we do 1 versus 16 for 9 holes, 2 versus 15 for 9 holes, 3 versus 14 for 9 holes, and so on. And then get to the quarterfinals and the semis and the finals. And we have lights out on the putting green at Glen Oak. So as the night goes from day to night, we have the lights out there to make it fun. We've got music going the whole time. I'll credit my brother, Jonathan Colziel, who also works at our station.
Mm-hmm.
He does the music all night, so we have a fun night with that. Kevin and I MC it the whole night, so not only do you get to hear us comment and everybody, but if you make a nice hole in one or a great putt along the way, we're shouting it out for people to do it. And we've added things along the way, like the PGA does the electronic scoring, so you get to see your name and lights and on a real like scoring website. And Peter Gourmet has stepped up again and is donating the dinner, so everybody will get a beautiful dinner from Peter Gourmet. Michelob Ultra stepped up to provide drinks, so you get Peter Gourmet, you get drinks all night.
We've got other drinks for, you know, for the non-beer drinkers and the non-seltzer drinkers as well. And we've got raffles and prizes. A ton of golf courses. Derek and Joe in the area have donated foursomes to give away. So we're going to have raffles for that. And a lot of private country clubs, too, that maybe people don't have regular access to. So here's your chance to maybe win in on that. We do a 50-50. It's super fun. And people, even after they're eliminated, they hang out all night. And we've got chairs wrapped all the way around the green. So you can hang out and just, you know, have your beverage and listen to the music and watch everybody putt. And it's really, really cool. We go from 108 golfers down to one. And then at the end, we present our hickory putter, our old school hickory putter. We call it the Pacer Putter Trophy. Mark, it's in honor of the late, great Mark Pacer, who was one of the original sponsors of our show that really made it kind of get on the air and going 20-some years ago. So he unfortunately passed away due to cancer way too early in his life. So we named the trophy after him. We call it the Pacer Putter, and we give that away to our winner at the end. So, I mean, it's all for fun, but with all that said, all the proceeds go to benefit PGA Hope, and that's for military veterans that are coming home back from serving our country anywhere around the world and trying to get them to transition back to normal lives that you and I all enjoy. And we do it through golf experiences. So whether it's, you know, pros giving lessons, whether it's setting up clinics, whether it's setting up getting them maybe equipment if they've been disabled through their time of serving, and maybe they need something to help them golf because something physically has happened to them. It could be some special equipment or some device, or even we even have a cart for someone that maybe even can't even walk because they maybe only have one leg or something like that to play. So anyway, long-winded answer there. We've now done it for 9 years. It gets bigger and better every year. Last year we raised over $5,000 for PGA Hope. So we're hoping to even increase that number this year. But yeah, that's how it all plays out. It's next Friday at Glen Oak at 6:00. We're looking forward to it.
So is this something like if you don't have, if you did not purchase your chance to participate, is it something that people can at least stop by and spectate?
Yes. So if someone just heard that and it's like, hey, I would love to do that. By the way, again, you don't have to be a good putter. This is all for charity.
I took part in this years ago, and we all know I definitely finished in last. I saw my name last on the leaderboard. So if I can do it and have fun, so can you.
Right. If you think you're a good putter, then come out and see if you can win it, right? But yes, so if the easiest way to do this, I've got it at the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. It's the pinned tweet, and it's also the link that's in the bio. It'll take you right to the registration link. We actually do, as of yesterday, I think we were in the 90s in terms of signed up. So we may have about 10 single digit, you know, maybe 8 to 10 spots left. So if somebody wants to jump in, it's a $49 donation, but it gets you into the contest, but it also gets you dinner and drinks. Oh, by the way, I should mention Callaway is going to give you a sleeve of golf balls, too. They're coming to donate that as well. So you get those to putt with, too. So thanks to our friend Taylor Gessel from Callaway. So we have all that there. And you know, your donation's going to help PGA Hope. So it's a great cause, but you're right. If you just want to simply donate to the cause, you're like, hey, this is a great cause. I'd love to donate $10, $20, whatever. We would love to have any donation. If you're an area business and you'd like to donate to be a sponsor for the event, you can click on that link and there's a spot there to donate. Even if you'd like to register, go for it. As soon as it's sold out, like it'll shut down the ability to register for it, but the spot will always be on the link is available to donate if someone's interested, even if it goes beyond being able to putt or not.
So, Brian, just you mentioned it goes down to a bracket-style tournament, and just kind of picturing all of this in my mind, and having emceed them yourself, how many upsets do you normally see? Does it actually kind of ebb and flow on like the favorites getting through, or just like how does that normally look? Is it kind of vary?
Yeah, the one seed doesn't always necessarily win. I mean, we've had, you know, we've done this 8 times, so because it's one-on-one at the end, so, you know, obviously anything can. And if you're one of the top 16 that make it through from 100, like, obviously you're a very good putter. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say seeds hold for whatever that's worth going forward at the end. But I will tell you this, for those of you, you know, thinking like, well, how good do you have to be? So there's 18 holes that we set up on the big practice green at Glen Oak. And if you can just two putt each one and put up a 36, 36 has made it into the top 16 virtually every year. So if you think, oh, I can just two putt. Now, some of these are a little bit more difficult, but we also put up some of them that are only maybe like between, you know, 10 to 15 feet where you have a chance to make a hole in one. But if you think you can average a two putt, you likely will be in the top 16. So that's kind of how we have it set up. And yeah, it's, you know what, it was really cool about this is that we get so many different levels, so many different ages. Last year, our finals was a middle-aged man who won it versus a high school senior. And, you know, we've had all sorts of different ages. And my father's participating, who's 79 years old, and he gets out there. He knows he's probably not going to win, but we drag him out there, and he comes and supports the cause as well. So, you know, we welcome everybody. If you want to bring your son or your daughter to come and putt, or even if you just want to come and hang out for a half hour or an hour, you can donate and, you know, stand by the Glen Oak putting green and listen to us ramble on the microphone with the music in the background.
It's a good vibe, though. Like, I definitely need to make my way back to be able to not, maybe not participate, but definitely just at least to be around it again. Because when it was me, Kyle Powell, Nate Geary, and Joe DiBiase, the four of us, I remember we went that 1 year. Nate was busy the rest of the way, but the three of us were not.
Yeah, Nate putted well. No, we've Nate, had
Joe
a lot of...
I remember Joe just missed the cut, but then like me and Kyle, like, yeah, no. I was at the bottom and Kyle was, you know,
yeah,
a little bit better than me, but...
We've had a lot of guys from the station do it. Mm-hmm. I know the four of you that you just mentioned, Evan, who's producing today for you, because mm-hmm. he's our Tee to Green go-to producer. He's participating as well. And we had Sal Capaccio putt with us, of course, before. And this year we're excited. Bulldog and Owen are going to be kind of our WGR celebrities putting this year. So you can come by if you want to come by and say hi to Bulldog or Owen. They'll be there as well.
You'll be able to pick them out. They're the tall ones.
That's right. That's right.
But Brian, just to one more time, just go over it. It's on Friday at Glen Oak. And you'd said $49 donation gets you into the
putting contest, dinner from Peter Gourmet, drinks from Michelob Ultra, raffles, golf balls from Callaway. And that gets you in on all of that. So again, the easiest way to do it, go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR, and it's the pinned tweet. You can also, the link is in my bio there too. You just click on the link and it takes you right to the registration site, and you can get in, and we'd love to have it. Again, if you can't participate, but you feel like, hey, that sounds like a good cause and you'd like to donate, you can do so right there as well on that registration page. If you just want to be a person that donates, we would love the support from everybody across Western New York. So hopefully we'll get you guys back going at it this year. Evan can give you his breakdown of how he putts next Saturday here when he's putting, because he's putting on Friday night.
I need to ask, is this a rain or shine event?
This is a rain or shine event. Obviously, you know, if there's dangerous thunder and lightning, you know, we would, as any golf thing would do, we'd have to postpone it and bring it or suspend it to bring people in. But it's, you know, as long as it's not raining to the point where it's becomes unputtable, and cross our fingers, knock on wood, for 8 years we've had cooperative weather, so we'll hope that that continues here on next Friday.
Yep, I looked at the extended. I do see there is a chance at something, so you know, we want to make sure that people know, like, just because it might be like drizzling outside, that doesn't mean it's going to stop at any moment there.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll, again, unless it's unplayable or there's thunder and lightning, we'll be out there doing it. So either way.
All right, and of course, Brian, I hate to do this to you, but you are our host for the Sabres Radio Network. So I do have to ask you, because it's been a while.
Everybody during this offseason here, I love the intros for Sabres. They'll have me on for other things like this, and you're like, all right, Brian, well, we have to transition to the Sabres.
We have to do this one thing, because it is,
I always want to say at this point, my connection seems to be cutting out, guys. Going to have to let you go, you know.
But it does look like, and, you know, we did start a little bit of the opening banter for this show of, I recalled earlier this week doing a show with Zach where we mentioned some of our favorite Bills seasons. And I brought up the Droughtbreaker, a team that really had no business making the playoffs, but they did it anyway. And I look at the Sabres offseason and go, is that the only way that they can make it now? Because I don't feel all that encouraged by the roster. But I also know that Montreal had no business making it last year. So it happens in the league.
Yeah, and I would probably slightly, I wouldn't go as far as Montreal as a surprise, but Ottawa was a surprise too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those ended up being the two wild cards, you know, that we ended up having in the Eastern Conference, Ottawa and Montreal. I mean, guys, would you have said going into the season last year, Ottawa on paper or Montreal on paper is better than Buffalo? I wouldn't have said
no.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said yes to that, right? Like, I mean, no, yeah. So, yes, is there any argument against saying that Buffalo can't be one of those two wild cards this year? I guess not. I guess how I look at it is that this season there was supposed to be kind of that big move, and I know we all heard the rumor Kevin Adams is open for business and have that big move, and you would think that for a GM that, in my opinion, would feel fortunate that he's getting a sixth season after missing a playoffs 5 years in a row. I mean, what general manager in pro major sports, in the Big Four, would you have your team miss the playoffs 5 years in a row and you get a sixth year? Like, especially in the NHL. I feel like the NHL changes GMs and coaches more than any other of the Big Four. So, like, I think he's got to feel fortunate. And they also hired a senior GM advisor, an assistant GM. So, like, if Kerry Pegula really wanted to make a change, he could do it easier than even in previous years because he's got two other guys on his payroll that are just sitting right here ready to go. I thought Adams would show a little bit more urgency in terms of making moves. Now, you know, he might say, well, the J.J. Paterka trade was the big move. Well, possibly, but again, the best player in the trade left the Buffalo Sabres, and I think this is something I talked about with you guys, you know, earlier or whenever we spoke last about
locker cleanouts. The one where I remember that of like load Allen onto a plane. Granted, the Vegas Golden Knights stopped anyone from having that kind of fun, but something of the face of the idea to where none of that still happened.
Yeah, and the best player in the trade again left Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, the Eichel trade. Now Alex Tuch turned out to be a great player. But the best player in that trade still left Buffalo. Devon Levi might turn out to be a great player for the Sabres, a great goalie. But the best player in that trade with Florida that sent Sam Reinhart to the Panthers left Buffalo. You know, at the time, Ryan O'Reilly's trade. It was for a collection of picks and prospects. Well, one of those prospects was Tage Thompson. That trade really, really worked out. But at the moment of the trade, the best player left Buffalo. Can we recall, and this is where you guys can help me here, I can't recall a trade in Kevin Adams' tenure where at the time of the trade, the better player in the trade was coming to Buffalo. I don't see that.
Ready?
I don't either.
There's two. Last year, Ryan McLeod coming in return for Matthew Savoy.
That was a good trade.
Mm-hmm. At the time, the best player comes to Buffalo there.
Right.
Yep.
And the other one is Jordan Greenway for a mid-round pick.
Yeah. So it's a short, minimal list, and this is not to take anything away from Ryan McLeod. I thought that trade worked out great.
Right.
But he wouldn't be labeled necessarily like a top-line player. He ended up playing top-line due to injuries at times, but McLeod, by the way, I don't want to have that come off as being like that I don't like his game. I thought that trade worked out wonderfully, and McLeod played in so many different situations and played in so many different lines and played center and wing and played with everybody on the forward roster. I was really impressed with what he did. With that being said, Kesselring coming in, I think, is going to be a nice partner for Owen Power. At least I assume on paper that's the plan coming in. This Bo Byram situation has just played out way too long. It seems very reactive. Everything has been built upon the fact that they, when asked about the salary cap and spending money or signing free agents or maybe having to overpay to get a free agent, it's all been based upon the fact, well, we have to allot money for Bo Byram or we have to be ready if we have to match an offer sheet, all this. It seems very reactive. And if you want Bo Byram on your team, if you think he's a guy that can really help you going forward, and I think there's an argument to say that there is a good argument to say that he can help your team going forward, then sign him. But mm-hmm. I think this, like, well, if a team offers, does an offer sheet, we'll match it. But if a team offers this, we'll wait and see what's best. Like, you could say that about any player. But to hamstring and handcuff your off-season plans because you're not sure of what other teams might do to possibly acquire Byram via trade or offer sheet or whatever, like, it just seems reactive to me. And I wanted to have more of a concise plan, I feel like, with that. And I feel like that I heard a lot of different messages that sounded very reactive to me. And that is, you know, Byram, when he played with Dahlin, looked great. And Byram, when he didn't play with Dahlin at times, looked very inconsistent. Do I think Byram playing with Dahlin would work out fine? I do. But it should have been, like, this is what we want. We want Bo Byram here. We want him to play with Rasmus Dahlin. And here's the contract. And boom. But instead, it's like, well, let's see if someone offer sheets us. Let's see. Well, now we're going to go to arbitration. Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of like they didn't have a concise plan. They were waiting to kind of see what the league thought of Bo Byram, and then, well, we'll react to that. And I didn't like how it is still playing out.
Even the fact that the team elected to go to arbitration then as well, which allows the player to go 1 or 2 years on their contract term. So we will get a contract drawn up for Byram at this point, but it's either we do the same song and dance next year or they walk Byram right to UFA. And I don't know if either is the best of asset management, but we will get an end to this at some point, which is, you know, I'll take that for what that is at this point, though, Brian. I don't want to keep dwelling on, you know, anything with the Sabres, the offseason that has been, and the underwhelming portions of it. So we'll let you go more or less with this one here. Brian, I'm sorry that the Orioles are not doing too hot this year. The AL East is wild. But somebody has to suffer the consequences of that, and I'm sorry that that's your team there. Did you hear the national anthem a couple days ago that was played
at the Orioles game?
Yes,
the EDM national anthem.
So I saw this through my feed, but I didn't actually listen to it.
Oh well, I think yeah. Evan, do we have it? What are your thoughts, Brian?
Different. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a baseball game to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Evan, you were too ready for that.
Yeah, he had it primed and ready to go. The best part of that, Brian, is you'll hear it in a moment. When they get to the O, he screams it into the microphone, and it just is an overmodulated.
Well, it's an Orioles thing, though.
I know it is. We'll see, but it's just diabolical.
Oh, jeez. I know that's what the Orioles fans do. They, you know, the yell O at that mm-hmm. point.
But that definitely sounds different.
Yeah, it's different. Look at I understand you have 80 some games to try to get an anthem singer for. I understand that maybe you have to think outside the box at times, but I don't know if I would have gone down that route. That doesn't sound like a great day of baseball in the summer in a major league ballpark. But
no.
Hey, maybe, you know, maybe it got people to pay attention. Look at it, got us to talk about it. So.
It did. It worked. They also won that game.
They did. Maybe they needed more. We'll see. We'll see if he appears anymore.
They took down the Amazons that day, so good for them.
Yep.
Brian, before we let you go, I actually have a question about the Open coming up next week. Mm-hmm. I see this tweet, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. And the Open tweeted out that a spider cam in the world first for golf yesterday bring millions of TV viewers closer to the world's best golfers. What do you know anything about this? And do you know what the spider cam is, or are you going to be seeing it for the first time?
Yeah, it's for golf. This is something that definitely is happening, I think, for the first time. But yeah, supposedly it's like a plane camera, I guess, aerial drones to enhance it. It's going to go from like one side of the 18th hole to the other. So we're going to get to see some, I guess, is it similar to what we see like on the at the NFL games, like where the drone is on top of the huddle almost? I guess. But yeah, they're using 25 meter high pylons to get this thing up in the air. And then there's going to be this camera like going back and forth, I guess. But yeah, we've seen it in football. I mean, the logistics and the cost of this has to be ridiculous. I was reading that it may have cost them over 300,000 euros. So, I mean, what is that, $350,000?
Right around,
to,
yeah.
To, like, try to come and get this IMG media thing together. But we'll see. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I think I'll say the second best broadcasting piece for me with technology is golf. Number one to me is still the first down line in football. I feel like that still is enhanced so much how we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Shot Tracer for golf is got to be a close second in terms of things that maybe over the last decade that has really changed how we watch sports. I think golf on TV has really, really benefited from Shot Tracer and how the ball is obviously followed there with the path that they have. So I love that. I'm really curious to see how this Spider Cam coverage goes. And I know that NBC, who has the rights to the Open here, and Golf Channel, that they are going to have access to it, because they're not each of these, like Sky Sports in the UK has it, and you know NBC has it in the US. Like, they're not each going to have to set up their own thing. I guess they're all going to be tying in to this Spider Cam, and then if it works out, if it's deemed successful, I guess that they may be figuring out a way to do it for future majors or the Ryder Cup or things like that. But it's weird that it's happening at the Open, at a place where, you know, it's kind of, you wouldn't think, oh, they're going to do something outside the box. Like, this is the home of golf, and this is, you know, where golf originated from, that they're going to go ahead and do something like this. What a lot of people like about the Open is its tradition and kind of its old school feel and look. But man, this is going to be different. But it is going to be on the 18th green at Royal Port Rush at the course this week. So we'll have to see how it plays out. Yes, Spider Cam is going to be on display next week, so we'll have to watch for that.
All right, Brian, we'll let you get through and enjoy the rest of your weekend here, but give one quick plug again about the Duster Challenge coming up this Friday.
Yeah, it's next Friday at Glen Oak at 6 o'clock, and we'd love to have you sign up for it. You can sign up at the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. If you don't have Twitter, you can go to WNYPGA.com. That's the Western New York PGA website. So WNYPGA.com, and then you can just look for the Duster Challenge that way. If you don't have any, for those that maybe don't even have Twitter, that's another way to get to it. And we'd love to have anybody show up and donate, or just even if you're not even participating, or it's a last minute thing, if you just want to come and hang out and cheer us on, or heckle us when we miss a putt, we're all for it.
Brian, appreciate the time. Thank you. And hopefully I'll make my way out there Friday to see you.
Yeah, come by on Friday, guys. We'd love to have you hang out.
Absolutely.
You can heckle Evan when he misses a putt.
Yes.
Or Owen.
Or
might
Owen,
be a lot dog. Of missed putts by me.
I can't. I don't have a leg to stand on to heckle anybody, so I'm not going to do that.
Evan, I think, are you locked in with your putter right now? Do you feel like you're ready to compete here?
No, but I'm going to do my best.
That's the right attitude.
That's right. That's a good attitude to have. That's right.
All right, Brian, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys, thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Brian Kozeal on the WGR's West Her Hotline. Wow, what a way to butcher that read right there. Tee to Green, though, every Saturday on WGR, and hosting and emceeing the Duster Challenge on Friday at Glen Oak. We'll come back. And, of course, time-honored traditions have to carry on. The Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. This is Sports Talk Saturday.
It's the Booty Cheek of the Week.
Oh, man.
Evan adding some flair.
Yes. Sounds
gonna,
like a little like
that's going to be his favorite drop for like the next four shows.
Yes,
until something else comes along, because something else always
shows up.
It sound that specific sound sounds like Lil Jon and Turn It Down for What?
It sounds like a Roomba stubbed its toe.
Yeah.
But anyway, Booty Cheek of the Week. Joe, you definitely still had a problem with that anthem.
I do. Yeah, it's not the worst one, as we discovered yesterday. But it's still, I don't think that's a, you know, I don't like that as a national anthem at a sporting event. So I'm still going to have a problem
like
with it.
I did like that Sneaky Joe liked it, though. Like, didn't and hate
that was,
it.
That was
it's not that he
so,
liked it, he didn't hate it, though.
I mean, I would expect nothing less. You know, like, just as a provocateur and like myself, I would expect nothing less. It's genuinely not terrible, though. I think
it's just not your thing.
I think Daft Punk came up at some point yesterday. I don't mind Daft Punk. Get Lucky. Like, that's a good song, you know? But that is, like, teetering on, like, okay, we're too far off.
I feel like it would sound better with a closed stadium.
See, I completely
disagree.
The
way it carries through the air sounded more weird and disjointed.
Imagine KeyBank Center, though. Arguably some of the worst acoustics, right? Even with the new roof. That coming back down, not being able to escape. Oh, man.
Not being able to escape.
That would be terrible.
I don't know.
You'd get feedback right in that mic. You'd have EDM overload just right into the mic.
Audio professionals still know what they're doing. I know. You're not going to get feedback from that. But, yeah, I would say that that's
– just imagine that O reverbing 80 times in the middle of that stadium or the arena.
Ow.
Yeah.
But speaking of the NHL,
yeah,
the NHL.
Oh,
I've got one far worse than that anthem and any horror that could it bring you.
And that scares me.
This is from Darren Dreger.
Credible source.
At 10:37 this morning.
Oh, no. Right before we went on. No.
And in his exact words, reporting on this only because I'm a bit surprised by the outcome. Expect the NHL to give the decentralized draft model another try next year. Strong majority of general managers voted in favor of the new status quo with some potential production tweaks to move the first round along. Nobody.
Ugh!
And I mean nobody is more proficient at shooting themselves in the foot than the National Hockey League.
Production tweaks, does that mean getting rid of Emperor Palpatine's throne room?
I hope so.
Where they hold them hostage and make them stare down the front office staff?
I hope so.
And the front office staff looks like they're being held hostage as well? They all look like they hated that.
Yeah. Every single general manager doesn't love talking that much.
If that's there next year and a majority of general managers voted to keep it that way, my mind is boggled. I don't know how that would exist.
No, ready? It makes sense in a sense. You want to know why? It makes sense that general managers would vote on this because hockey people in the highest tiers love just things that they're not connected with the fan base in the entertainment way. They see it as a business model of we can conduct our business, not have to fly out to a place. Like, in terms of actual work getting done is one thing about it that they'd be like, okay, this actually is something that we like. We enjoy that sort of thing. What the general managers do not have a grasp of throughout the entirety of the league, and even executives, dare I even say, of course, like ownership and, of course, Gary Bettman, they do not have a pulse on the fan base on what is good and what is not, on what is enjoyable and entertaining and what is boring. What do hockey people love doing with something that's fun and fascinating and entertaining? Bury it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 4-on-4 overtime.
Yep.
For your first example. And now even 3-on-3 overtime, where possession is the key and not just trying to win the thing. It's about having the puck and holding on to it and retreating. Hockey people are so good in the National Hockey League at ruining the potential of hockey.
It's bad.
And this is the latest of that. I mercifully watched none of the first round because I had to play hockey of my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched some of it and turned it off because it was atrocious.
I cannot imagine how I would feel if I had to work that night, let alone watch it and try to enjoy it as a bystander. Because everything that I heard was, this is a nightmare. And you're voting, strong majority of you are voting to keep it and try some production tweaks. You know what was really good when it came to the ebbs and flows? The centralized draft.
Yeah, because you had everybody there.
Everybody's there.
There were drones.
It moves along.
There were drones.
In the sphere.
The sphere could be the centralized spot.
It should be.
It's the perfect place for that.
It should be, honestly.
I'm excited for the NFL draft to eventually get there, if it does.
But, again, it's just one of these things where the NHL is so proficient at getting in its own way so often. You want to feel bad about it, but at the same time, you watch it and go, they lit themselves on fire. What do I do about that? Other than laugh at the production that they chose to light themselves with. Okay.
I guess
such a beautiful game.
Live by the sword, die by the sword, I guess, NHL. That's just what it is.
Screwed around with by the worst professional league.
Mm-hmm. And that'll never change.
That'll never change, and we find new examples of it each and every year. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up next, Joe and I are going to get into some way too early over-unders for win totals, and therefore, in a sense, our way too early predictions, sort of. It'll be the blueprint for our preseason predictions coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday.